The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Allergy season. I look around the office, I can see people suffering with their hay fever, but did you know that it can be as tough on your pet as it is for you? So how do you look after them? Well, joining me to tell me more is Pete Wedderburn, better known as Pete the Vet. Lovely to speak to you, Pete.
Good morning, good morning.
So are our animals, our pets, suffering in the way so many people seem to be suffering at the moment with hay fever?
Well, the really interesting difference is that dogs and cats don't tend to suffer from hay fever like we do with runny eyes and snuffling and sneezing. How they tend to suffer is with itchy skin. So they get itchy ears, itchy feet, and also elsewhere in their body. So every year in the summer, vets are really busy seeing the seasonal peak of animals that are itchy because of pollens. So you have to cross out the words hay fever and write allergic itchy skin instead for how pets react.
So is that part of the problem here, is that people maybe expect their pets to have the same reaction as humans, and if they see them itching their skin, they think it's down to something else, to maybe fleas, for example?
Well, and indeed, sometimes it is something else. And for vets, making a diagnosis of pollen allergy dermatitis, the diagnosis can't be met. There's no simple test that will tell you that that's what's going on. You have to rule out everything else. And that includes fleas. And it includes food allergies. Some pets get itchy because of food allergies. So as a vet, you have to rule out all the other things. And then you're left with, okay, it looks very much like this is a pollen allergy. And this is what we'll do to help them.
And are they suffering the way humans are? Because I know people who suffer from hay fever, and it's really debilitating.
Well, I actually think it's even worse for pets, because if you can imagine, feeling itchy all over your body is just a horrible sensation. And also what happens is, because we, at least as humans, know that if we've got something that's slightly itchy, we know we oughtn't itch it, because if we itch it too much, it makes it bleed and it gets infected and so on. So we humans can restrain ourselves, whereas animals, they don't know that. So if they feel itchy, they'll just chew their feet and they'll scratch their ears. And by doing that, they'll make it much, much worse. So that's one of the real issues with animals, is that it's a vicious circle. The more itchy they get, the more they scratch and nibble themselves, and the worse it gets. So it's a really serious welfare issue in the summertime.
Is there any particular breeds that are more susceptible to it or more likely to develop it?
Well, this is another interesting thing. The reason pets get this is because of an inherited issue, which is something called the skin barrier function. And how I always describe that is that a normal skin surface is a bit like the sort of rubber roof on a flat roof. It's kind of impervious. Whereas when an animal has this allergic skin disease, the skin is more like a rubber roof that's a bit cracked and dried out and so on. And what that means is, because of the microscopic cracks in the skin, pollen particles can get through the initial barrier of the skin into the lower sensitive areas in the skin. And when the pollen particles get down there, that's when the body really reacts strongly to them. So this is an inherited defect in skin barrier function. And so some breeds, like West Highland White Terriers and perhaps Cockapoos and other breeds of that type, they are very, very prone to getting this genetically. And we almost never see this condition in some other breeds. For example, greyhounds, they just don't get it at all. So it's definitely a genetic issue.
Right. My dog has started dragging his bum across the carpet, says one texter. Could that be allergy related?
Definitely. That's a good question. People often think, when a dog does that first of all, people think they've got worms. And probably 50 years ago, they probably did have worms. But nowadays, with such good parasite control, that those kind of worms are really rare. So it's very, very rarely caused by worms. Other times it's caused by their little glands under the tail called anal sacs. Sometimes they can get swollen and can cause itches too. But in the summertime, if a dog starts doing that, very commonly it's because of pollen allergies. And that's a separate thing altogether.
So if you get to the point with your vet that you've ruled out all the other causes, such as food allergies or fleas or any other parasites, what's the medication then? What's the treatment involved for these animals?
Well, the main treatment really is to use what's called anti-inflammatory drugs. And they basically are there's a whole range of different drugs that dampen down the immune system so the immune system doesn't react so strongly. And the most commonly known drug would be the steroids, a drug called prednisolone. And so a lot of dogs take these tablets every day or every second day through the summer months, and that just dampens down the way that their body reacts to it. And cats too, by the way, can get a similar type of reaction. And so they tend to more commonly get a type of long-acting steroid injection that lasts about a month. So those are the kind of, those are the traditional treatments that we'd have used. The problem with those drugs is they sometimes are quite strong side effects. Everybody knows about the side effects of steroids, you know, an increased appetite, sort of feeling a bit not quite yourself, all of those things. And pets are affected by those. So nowadays there's some really good, more advanced drugs that would include drugs like brand names like Atopica and Apoquel, and these are more expensive drugs that have far fewer side effects than the steroids, because they act more specifically to stop the itch rather than stopping inflammation all over the body. And the last product that's out there is something called a monoclonal antibody. I don't know if you've heard of monoclonal antibodies, but they are basically they're an antibody that's made in laboratory to target a specific protein in the body. It's used in cancer treatments a lot in humans. They target cancer proteins. In dogs, they get an injection once a month of a particular monoclonal antibody against one of the proteins that carries the itch from the skin to the brain. So if you remove that protein, then the dog no longer feels the itch. So this is a really clever, but also quite expensive product that's used nowadays to help dogs with this type of skin disease. And the great thing is that there's absolutely minimal side effects from it.
Okay, and what are we talking cost-wise, Pete?
Well, it would be over €100 per month for that injection. So, you know, it's certainly not a cheap option.
Let's bring in some other texts that are coming in here. My cat gets a rash over the summer. I'm not sure exactly what it's from. A few years ago, we did put her on medications for it, but it didn't help. Has medication improved in this area at all? Should I give it another go?
Definitely go and talk to your vet, because things have improved significantly. And in cats, just like in dogs, there are the traditional treatments, which is possibly what the cat got in the past, but there's also more advanced, more specific ones now, which very likely will help that cat. If a cat's only getting itchy in the summer months, it's very, very likely it is pollen allergy related.
My dog, an American Staffordshire, has had skin issues since he was a puppy. The advice the vet gave was to take a drug which cost €150 per month, and I can't afford that. What's your advice, Pete?
Well, yes, my advice is to go back to your vet and say, I can't afford that. What are the alternatives? And there nearly always are alternatives. And by the way, I've just mentioned the anti-inflammatory drugs, but there are other things you can do that don't necessarily cost so much at all. For example, washing your dog every day in the summer months, that removes the pollen burden. Even just washing your dog in anything at all, just to remove the little particles. Some people even put their dogs in T-shirts or lycra bodysuits to stop the pollens from contacting the skin. There is a 100% cure, by the way, which I've seen work completely, and that is moving countries.
Right. I know people would actually consider that.
I know somebody who moved from California to Ireland, and their dog, which had been itching its entire life, got to Ireland and stopped itching completely because there was no Californian pollens here.
Would our pet's diet have something to do with his allergies? He gets sick a lot, so I'm wondering if he has stomach issues or if I need to change his food.
So certainly food allergy can cause it. Gastrointestinal signs, and can also cause itchy skin. So if you suspect that, there's no specific test for that other than changing your dog's diet into something else completely different for about 6 to 8 weeks. And you have to be careful what you change them to. The best one to use is a so-called hydrolyzed diet, which is a diet that's made in a factory to have no allergy-causing particles at all in it, because it's been pre-digested into tiny, tiny little amino acid short chains. So you put the dog on a trial diet like that for 6 to 8 weeks. If they get better, you can say then, okay, that is definitely food allergy, gastrointestinal and itchiness. And in those cases, then you have to then find another diet that suits the dog that they're not allergic to.
It's trial and error
is what it is.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about a story in the news today. UCD's veterinary hospital are looking for blood donations from dogs and cats. I'd never heard of this before. Is this something pet owners should be doing?
Well, yes. I mean, and it's great that UCD are doing that because, like, in the UK, they've got a national dog blood bank. We don't have one in this country. And it means that centres that are very busy, they do run out of blood. So it's great that they're putting this appeal out. But what I'd say is that most vets in practice will actually regularly take donations in their own area, but we tend to do it kind of on an as-needed basis. In other words, if I get a dog in that's so badly ill that it needs blood, we have an ongoing list of our clients who've got suitable dogs. That's over 25 kilogram dogs that are very healthy. And we can then phone around those people and say, can you bring your dog in quick? Because we need blood right now. So we have a kind of living blood bank in our local area. And that's what a lot of vets do around the country.
All right, Pete the Vet, got to leave it there. But thanks so much for joining us.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.